Our topic this year is the parables. And since I get to do the introduction, I thought I would do it along with the parable of the sower because they go hand in hand. If you look at Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 1, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the disciples, in verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? So we take that question and we do the first part, which is the introduction. During his earthly ministry, as Jesus went about preaching and teaching, he frequently used parables. In Matthew 13 and 34, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. If you look at that chapter, there are several. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. It has been estimated that one-third of Jesus' recording teaching is found in parables. And that is by Wiersbe Windus on parables. Certainly many of Jesus' most remembered sayings were in parables. You know, you can think of a couple of sayings that were not parables Really more, like when Lazarus died, and it said Jesus wept. And that's not really his saying, but that's one of his actions. But also John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, shall have everlasting life. But a lot of what we see is in parables. So it's therefore today, therefore proper for disciples to ask such questions: what is a parable? Why did Jesus teach in parables? And what are they about? The word parable in transliteration of Greek, parabole, means to place beside, to cast alongside. As defined by Vine's English Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, it signifies a placing of one thing beside another with a view to comparison. As an old reading / English teacher, we used to teach similes and metaphors. Metaphors comparing things without using like or as, and similes using like or as. We think about the parables, they compare things. Wiersbe's definition of a parable, a story that places one thing beside another for the purpose of teaching. It puts the known next to the unknown, so that we may learn. And I don't say all the time, but a lot of times a parable does use the word like. Matthew 13:31, another parable, he spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. In the 33rd verse, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in the measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So, as used in the New Testament, a parable is usually a story or narrative drawn from nature or human circumstances. And we think about the parables, and think about the prodigal son, human circumstances. The parable of the fig tree, which Brother Bill will talk about tomorrow, that's nature. So a common definition of a parable is an earthly story with heavenly meaning. So the next question is, why did Jesus speak in parables? Or teach in parables? In other words, why didn't he simply speak straightforward when he was teaching? And the primary purpose was to conceal. The disciples' attitude was such that they were blessed. They were blessed to learn the mysteries of the kingdom. Let's look at Matthew 13:10, and we'll read those few verses. I think going through verse 17. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. I'm going to drop down to verse 16, then I'll pick up with the other two in just a minute. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. The prophets knew about Jesus Christ. The prophets foretold of his coming. And he says here that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and hear those things which you hear. But it was because of the hard hearts of many in the multitude that Jesus began to speak unto them in parables. Remember, the Pharisees questioned him about everything, or just about everything. You know, trying to get something on him. And people still do that today. They question people about everything they do and try to get something on them. But let's look back at verse 13 and 14. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Think about all the miracles that Jesus did, and yet a lot of people still didn't believe him. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. A lot of people see, but they still don't understand what they see. And I guess I can give you an example from being a teacher. You could show a parent a tape where their child got into trouble, and they wouldn't believe it. And I know it happened, where they did something wrong and they wouldn't believe it. A lot of people in Jesus' day, they saw what he was doing. They saw what he was able to do. They saw the miracles that he performed. Yet, they still didn't believe. In Isaiah 6 and 9, and he said, go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Their ears were heavy. They shut their eyes to the truth. In the 15th verse of Matthew 13, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Another purpose was to reveal. Even though the primary purpose in telling parables was to conceal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven from the multitude, for once the disciples of the known understood the basic meaning of the parables, the comparison of the known, the earthly truths, with the unknown, those heavenly things, those heavenly truths would shed further light on the unknown. So with the help of the Lord's explanation of his parables, we can learn more about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So we get into the parable of the sower. And we start with verse 18. Hear ye the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So the first soil is the wayside soil. It represents one who hears but does not understand. Their condition is one of being blinded by Satan to the gospel. While Satan contributes to their blindness, it is precipitated by their own hardness of the heart. Look at the things that go on in the world today. A lot of it, the hardness of people's heart takes them away from God or keeps them from accepting what the Bible has to say on a variety of things. 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They're blinded. There are a lot of people that proclaim to be religious. But when it comes to following every aspect, every teaching of God in the Bible, they're blinded. In verse 20, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. So the second soil is the stony soil. It represents one who hears and immediately receives it with joy. But in verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. We can teach the word, but and I'm going to tell y'all a story that was told years ago. It was about the hair question. And a woman, preacher, said something to the woman about this. And she said, it's not in my Bible. I cut it out. it doesn't matter if you cut it out and you can't see it anymore or not, it's still in effect. And there's a lot of misinterpretations. But it's still there. And people are going to be offended because of the truth. That person has no root in themselves, but endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution comes along because of the word, they're offended. They may just walk away, leave the church. So then we've got among the thorns, which is the third soil. In verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So the soil represents the one who hears the word, but the ability to bear fruit is choked by the thorns. We've got a fig tree. Hadn't done very well, but we've got one. And I'm thinking this year, in fact, I don't think we've ever got anything off of it, but this year it's covered up with blackberries. So I got a feeling it's going to be choked out by the thorns. So you got the cares of the world and the pleasures of life. Luke 8 and 14, similar passage. And that which fell among thorns are they which have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches of the world. Cares and riches and pleasures of life. And bring no fruit to perfection. So the thorns can cause us to be unfruitful. Which is explained in other parts of God's Word. You got the cares of the world, which can cause us to be unprepared. You know, what comes first? Is it the cares of the world or is it the gospel? Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, and these things will be added unto you. Seek you first. Luke 9 and 23 says, if any man will come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 21 and 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray that we may be accounted worthy of those things. It mentions in there the deceitfulness of riches. Long time ago, we used to go to a place, Ronnie will remember the place. It was called the Joyful Noise. It was in East Point, Georgia. And the owner's son would sing a song about not seeing like the U-Haul truck behind the hearse. And you can't. The riches of this world, once we leave, it goes to somebody else. 1 Timothy 6 and 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, into snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So money's not the root of all evil. It is that love of money. Remember the rich man? He gets to the point where his crops show forth abundant harvest. And what he did, what he said, talk about what he could do. He'll tear down bigger barns, the barns ahead, build bigger barns, and he'd sit back and eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We don't know. We never know when our time will come. Okay, the last soil is the good ground. Verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Luke 8 and 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bringeth forth fruit with patience. Sometimes I like to compare these because you got a little wording. But it says, and an honest and good heart, having heard it, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. We think about the parables. We think about how simple God's word is. And I'm going to wrap mine up. But a verse that I thought about the other day was Isaiah 35 and 8. I thought of the words and then had to look it up. It says, and an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the fool shall not err therein. The word of God is simple. Christ taught in parables, and to me it made it even simpler, made it easier to understand. So when he finished telling the parable of the sower before him, explained it, he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So from the explanation of Jesus himself, we've learned that not all those who have ears to hear really listen. I'm accused of not listening sometimes, or hearing sometimes. You know, it happens. But it's important to listen when God's word is being proclaimed, because that's how faith is obtained. Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.